I would like to talk a little bit more about anger. And I don't know if that's going to be annoying to you or not, but this morning we were in Ephesians. All right, let's talk about anger. I'm going to, let's just rehearse where we were in Ephesians chapter 4. There was so much more that I desired to share in our time together this morning. And I just felt like maybe we could spend some more time. Ephesians chapter 4, something I did not point out today, this morning, is that the context of this passage is put off and put on. The context is put off the old man, which is corrupt, being corrupted in the deceitfulness of lusts, the lusts of deceitfulness, excuse me, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on, verse 24, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the context. Because what you see is Paul introducing that concept, and then he gives us a list of examples. Last time in verse 25, lying and speaking truth. Put off lying, speak truth, every man with his neighbor, if we are members one of another. Immediately following, then, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And what you're seeing here is in this context, you're seeing put off what is of the old man, be renewed in your mind, and put on the new. The renewing of the mind is the key to all of this. And that's what happens in when we are convicted and when our hearts are changed, and specifically when we think of anger. When we come to that point and we experience that agitation that's within our heart about something or someone that's happened, something's happened, it's the work of God that renews our thinking so that we're not controlled by the anger, we are controlled by God's Spirit. Now, Paul's going to readdress this again in chapter 5, where he says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that entitles us to the fact that we are to be walking in the Spirit. Now that leads me, and this is all stuff that I wish I could have said in all one context, but Galatians chapter 5. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Very familiar passage to us. Verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Look at verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Notice this list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Notice in this list, there's wrath. And it's in that context of walking in the Spirit, don't walk in the flesh. You walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, what are those works of the flesh? Anger is one of them. Remember now this morning we talked about anger in and of itself is not evil. It is something that I believe is a part of our DNA as God has designed us. Let's remember this. We are made in the image of God. God has anger. God is a God who has expressed anger. He's a God of wrath. Indeed, many of the times that you see the term orge, or that's the Greek word for anger here in Ephesians, many times you see that is a term that's used to speak of the judgment of God. So we are made in the image of God. We're made as personal beings having emotions. And one of those emotions is that of anger. That excitement and agitation that gets going when something happens that just, it's not happening according to our thinking, our view. Now, this passage back in Ephesians, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." As we contemplate our anger in our situations when we have that height of emotion, we need to understand that the put on is that of love and forgiveness, a forgiving heart. I can think back to the times and moments of anger in my own heart. And so often it begins as the result of something that happens and that rightfully shouldn't have happened. I'm a parent, okay? So one of my children directly disobeys me and disrespects me. I can be angry because they are doing something that is totally disrespectful. It is not of God, and I can rightfully say that. But this is one of the main things I learned from this lesson, okay? And I'm learning just along with you, but one of the main things that I learned was that I can't handle anger. I can't handle it. I cannot allow it to fester and build up in my heart and life as an emotion, as an agitation, because if I do, it will lead me to sin and lead me to being used of the devil. And I think we've all experienced that of one time or another. I can't handle it. Neither can you. And that goes back to the fact, yes, we're made in the image of God, but we are not God. We are not perfect. We are not holy as God is holy. And yes, God is a God of anger. We have anger, but it is not something that we can handle. And so therefore, it is something that must be quickly turned into a useful tool for ministering love and grace and forgiveness. Now, anger is something that you see spoken of Jesus Christ. And I don't know if you were thinking about this or not, but we do see Jesus angry, don't we? Can you name a time or example of when you can think Jesus might have showed anger? That's pretty universal, isn't it? Money changers in the temple. I want to look at one other example where it speaks of Jesus being angry. Okay? So I want to go to Mark chapter 3. As I study these things, I often will bring in Jesus in his life, and I will ask the question, how does Jesus handle this, or did Jesus deal with this? Now, it is very rightfully, we can say this to be true, anger in itself is not sin, because we see it spoken of in the character within Jesus' life and also within that of God, okay? So that's very clear. It's part of our DNA, part of our design. I've said that before. But Mark chapter 3 highlights for us a moment in Jesus' life where he expresses or communicates anger. Mark chapter 3, verse 1, "And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he looked around about on them with what? This is Jesus we're talking about. Careful. Anger, right? With anger. Being grieved for them, for the hardness of their hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Interesting here, we see Jesus and this emotion of anger. Now again, Jesus is God, okay? He is God in human flesh. And yes, he is confronting them about their whole thing about healing on the Sabbath day. And you read verse 5, and when he looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. I want you to notice the cause or the reason for his anger was the very hardness of man's heart. I mean, here's God in human flesh. He didn't have to be there. He was there. He's sent by his Father as part of God's divine plan of salvation. And he was sent to these people, and they continually would reject him and reject him. And they would put forth their tradition against his teaching, against the very standard of God. And Jesus in his heart was grieved. Now, was he specifically, do you think, grieved at these men and their hardness of heart? Or is he grieved at the evil one who blinds these men into not seeing God's truth? We don't know that specifically. But we know that here Jesus is agitated in his soul in response to what is happening in the hearts of these individuals. How do you think Mark understood this anger? Yes, it was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that caused him to write this, but do you think that this anger was visible? Do you think this, he says he looked upon them with anger. Do you think it was with a scowl, with the eyebrows in the V and the mouth frowning, with eyes that are glaring? Do you think he pounded his hands together? Do you think he spoke with an urgency, with an intensity? All of those things very well could be true. Is our Lord wrong here? Absolutely not. No, he is not wrong. But I want you to notice here that we can take from this example. Yes, Jesus is angry. And he is angry about the condition of man's heart. But I want you to notice what he does. I want you to notice what he does. He says to the man, stretch forth your hand. Now let's remember who this man is. This man is a man that's got a withered hand, a hand that is bent and no longer able to stretch forth as you and I can do so. And the Lord Jesus, yes, he is angry at the condition of man's heart, but what does he do? He continues on his ministry and his purpose for being there. He continues on and he heals this man. He restores it. And he continues on in his ministry. You don't see here this emotion building up, and you don't see him starting to spar with words with these Pharisees. We know he does that in other places, but he doesn't here. The emotion doesn't come out in fists flying. It comes out just clearly enough to communicate, I am grieved over the condition of your hearts. And then he moves on and he ministers. I want you to know something. Anger can communicate something very powerful. I recently, I'm in a Bible study as well with a couple men, and we recently viewed, it's a DVD series, and we recently viewed a portion of a DVD where there's a preacher preaching, and he's preaching to men, and he's speaking from 1 Peter chapter, 3 or 5, I think it's 3. Yes, 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 7, it says, "Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And so he's speaking to husbands here, and as he does, he is just overwhelmed with I would say, anger, with an intensity against the condition of men in the church and the way they treat their wives. And so in this DVD, what's played out is you see a preacher preaching from the pulpit in a very large church, and he's angry. I would say he has an intensity about him. He is agitated in his heart about the condition of some men in his church and their hearts and the way they treat women. And so he communicates in a very powerful way, and he condemns men's wrong actions towards women. I'll be honest, when I first saw that, I was like, whoa, calm down, buddy. Calm down. Take it easy. You don't have to be so harsh. You don't have to yell and scream. I was so taken back about it that I wrote the publisher. And I was like, this DVD series is great except for this one segment. I criticized it because I just felt it was too bristling. I got a response back from them yesterday or the day before. And it really challenged my heart because I respect this organization very much, and I still do. But their response was this, and it goes along with what we're talking about. Their response, I wish I would have brought it, but their response was something like, "The way men treat women in our culture today is despicable." Now, I'm not saying that all men, okay? But men, the way they treat women in our culture is despicable. And this even goes on sometimes in our churches. We will have young men who are not married with hands all over women. There is all kinds of sex going on outside of marriage. There is adultery going on. There is men that are beating their wives. And then coming and sitting in church on Sunday and acting like everything is great. And the man who wrote me said, "These are the despicable things, and we prayed over this." And they told me they prayed over it. They knew it would be controversial. And other people have written about it. I'm not the only one. But they prayed over it, and they just felt led that this needed to be said. And it needed to be said with an emotion and a passion that communicated how evil this really is. I can accept that. I can accept that. Anger can communicate, and it can communicate in a very powerful fashion. But I want to tell you something. It is not. It can be used as a tool by God, but it must never be something that controls you. Because once it begins to control you, you have now stepped into the arena of the devil's work and sin. The question is, yes, you may be angry, and yes, you may be communicating something that is good and right, a passion against an injustice through your anger. But that is something that we must tread very carefully in. It is not something that we must make habitual in our lives, because very soon you will become known as an angry person. If I was preaching all the time, and if I was preaching with anger at you guys, and just anger, and just incredible passion, and pointing my fingers, and you don't do that, you don't do that, you would come at me, and you would know me as an angry preacher. But I will tell you that there will be times when I will come across with anger, with a passion, with an indignation against what is happening or what's going on. But by God's grace, that should not be a characteristic of our lives, of our ministries, of our speech. It can be a tool to communicate, but I would not make it a regular one. Jesus is not, it's not common that we see Jesus angry. In fact, this is the only place in conjunction that I could find in conjunction with Jesus where anger is specifically mentioned. You look at the money changers in the temple, you don't see anger mentioned there. Not the word. Now, we identify what happens in his conduct as anger. And very likely it is a righteous indignation at what is taking place in God's house. But I want you to know, Jesus was not an angry man. And yet he was God. And he has every right to be angry. Every right to be an angry God, and he can handle it because he is God. And he knows, you see, God can do what he wants to do, and he can accomplish his purposes even through anger. He will. God's judgment is coming, and God's judgment is the expression of his wrath and anger against sin. I believe that anger has a presence in our lives more than we'd like to admit. I know that I experience that passion and agitation in my soul many times throughout the week. Pressure and stress, demands, and they can mount up and become huge mountains where we just feel like we're being crushed, and we've got to push it off on someone else, on something else, and it spills out of us as anger. I also want to comment on this. In Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to speak tonight that word bitterness, I want you to know that is deeply paired with anger. Because what bitterness is it is the extension of one's anger. It is that festering that is taking place after one is agitated in his soul about something or someone, something that happened, and they don't put it off. They aren't renewed in their mind concerning that matter. They don't put on the kindness, the love, and the forgiveness that's found in Christ. Dear ones, I want to warn you, the result of not being renewed in your mind, anger will lead you to be a bitter man, a bitter woman. And I have seen bitterness destroy relationships. Where that harboring of an insult or of an injustice controls a person. I once heard it defined that bitterness is the poison that you drink hoping the other person will die. and bitterness, dear ones, bitterness will kill. And I've seen it happen, and sadly to say, I probably will. I'll see it again. But I just want to warn you, deal with your anger. Replace it with love, tenderness, kindness, and forgiveness. Remembering that God will take care of the injustice. Romans 12:19 talks about that. We looked at that this morning. God takes care of the injustice. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We so often want to get it ourselves. We want to make things right for ourselves. God can handle that. Let God do it. Because indeed, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, James 1. One illustration to close. Back in March or April, I believe it was April, we had a men's retreat. And the speaker of the men's retreat, Pastor McCall, came and spoke here. You remember that? As he was speaking from this very passage, Ephesians chapter 4, and he was speaking specifically on grieve not the Holy Spirit. But he went down through the whole list of put off, put on. He talked about lying and speaking truth. He talked about anger. He went down through that whole list. I want you to know something, and this makes me smile. But while he was talking about anger, I happened to be sitting in the pew with my family next to my little boy who got a hold of my Bible. And my Bible's precious. And that very day, he ripped a page in my Bible. And I want to tell you something. I was angry. But very quickly, the Lord made me smile. Because forever I have a memorial. Forever I have a memorial. If you know what? Get a hold of that anger. It's not worth harboring. Because you want to know what page you ripped? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You see, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? See, God has a way of getting our attention and a way of working with us and saying, Josh, listen to me. You need to be controlled in your anger. Don't let it fester. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Remember, it should be ending. It should have a ceasing point, a stopping point. Neither give place to the devil. The devil's ready. He wants to take advantage. And he will. He absolutely will. Trust that we can be encouraged by this. This is kind of a heavy topic, but I believe it's something the church must know and understand and apply. I want to encourage you in this regard. If anger has been an issue in your life, I want to encourage you to make things right with those with whom you've hurt with your anger. I can't tell you how much it meant that day my dad called me up and told me he was sorry for the times where he expressed his anger and temper towards me. And I've asked him if I could share that, and he said that's fine. And God has really helped him in some amazing ways. But I can't tell you how much it meant to me for him to just confess that to me and for me to see that my dad, whom I love very much and I admire very much, could humble himself to the point of saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong in the way I dealt with you and handled you and as a child. And so I encourage you can really minister through in seeking and confessing and seeking forgiveness, whether it's your children, your spouse, a friend, coworker. You know, I encourage you. It would be hard. Yes, it's humbling, but God can use that. God, I am blessed, Lord, by our time together, and I thank you for teaching us this evening, and thank you for your precious word. Oh, God, I pray that you would help us as a people. Lord, we have a heart and a desire to please you and to Lord, to be not can be controlled by anger. To be not be angry people. Help us with these passions, Lord, that can so quickly well up within. I pray that you would help the individual or people here tonight that they realize they've been an angry man or angry woman. And Lord, maybe you're convicting their heart and they need to go confess. I pray that you'd give them courage and bless them for their obedience. Oh God, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.